Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
I quite like the number of apps that are already available.
Tech Guide.
The iPad 2 still beats just about everything on the market. The new iPad has just kicked away even further.
Tech Guide.
I quite enjoyed using it. Great design. The operating system worked hand in hand with the hardware as well.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is obviously a hot selling device.
Tech Guide.
You know, we want that to be light. We want that to be portable. And this one's very fast with i7 and i5 processors.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Tech Guide, episode 55. Hello and welcome. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. It's great to have your company once again. My name is Stephen Fenwick and I'm the editor of techguide.com.au. To kick off things this week, we're going to talk about Google's Moto X smartphone, which was accidentally leaked. Next up, the new Fidelio speaker systems from Philips and also 5 years of the eBay mobile app. In the Tech Guide reviews, we're going to look at the Jongo S3 wireless speakers from Pure, also the HP ElitePad 900 Windows 8 tablet, and the Nokia Lumia 1020 with a staggering 41 megapixel camera. And we'll wrap things up as we always do with the Tech Guide Help Desk. And it's all brought to you by our proud sponsors, Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. Lots to get through, so let's jump right in. Well, we're going to kick it off with a leak. And the leak is coming from Motorola and Google. Now, you'll remember that Motorola was purchased by Google a couple of years ago, nearly, for $12 billion, $12.5 billion, as a matter of fact. And the next smartphone from this union is going to be the Moto X. Highly anticipated product, but we knew it's coming along. But we didn't anticipate getting an early look at it as we did today. The big news coming out of that story was the fact that a video prepared by Roger Wireless, which is a Canadian operator, was actually leaked online, and it revealed a few of the features of the device, as well as the look of the product as well. Now, there's much speculation about what's going to be on board, and the video gave it away. Now, one of the main features we noticed was the always-on voice commands. So what a user would do if they want to talk to the phone any time, they'd initiate the phrase, they'd say, okay, Google now, and then they'd just ask the phone whatever they want, to call someone, look up something, whatever they needed it to do. There's also a few gesture controls. Also going to have the new Android 4.3 operating system. Of course, Google, in their own product, are going to roll out the very latest operating system. That's 4.3 on their very own device. It's also going to have a quad-core Qualcomm Snapdragon 600 processor under the hood as well. So that's going to give it plenty of grunt. It's going to be a nice, fast device. No specification on the screen size, although I suspect it's probably going to be 4.7, maybe 5-inch screen. Another interesting development, though, on this story, apart from the leak, that is the appearance by Eric Schmidt, who's the Google chairman. Now, he was spotted with holding a device that had the Motorola symbol on the back of it. It was snapped by a couple of people and shared on Twitter. This is the device that we suspect is also the Moto X. And the funny thing is he made no attempt to hide the product and was actually happy to show it to a few bystanders who noticed that he had the device. Now, from the back, it's white. There are pictures of him holding the phone on Tech Guide at the moment. The back of the device seems to be made of carbon fiber, white rear panel, although it's probably going to be available in black as well. In the video, it had a black rear panel. And there's also a top-down view. It shows there's a headphone jack right in the on the top edge, right in the middle, and the curved back tapers really sharply to the edges. So it gives it a nice slender shape. But that is the alleged Moto X. The video, which has now been shut down, you can't access it. The video on YouTube has now been declared a private video, so obviously the public can't view it anymore. They had to shut that one down. But the Rogers Wireless announcement said that the device will be available in August. Now that's next month. We don't know if that's going to be the case here in Australia as well. But it is it is coming within the next few months. It is eagerly anticipated. We didn't anticipate that we would be seeing it as early as we did with this leaked video. Good on Ozdroid, Australian Android site, for breaking that story. They actually found the leaked video and posted it on their website, and it was then picked up by multiple sites around the world, including my own. If you want to read that story and also check out those images, including the voice images and a general look at the product, as well as it in Eric Schmidt's hands, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Now, Philips isn't always a name that immediately comes to mind when you think of high-end audio, but it should. They've been around for quite a long time, since the 20s, as a matter of fact. They are, after all, the company that invented the cassette tape and later in the 20th century also invented the compact disc player. So in terms of having some kind of audio heritage, Philips are very well qualified. Now, what we did, we had a look at their very latest range, their Fidelio range, which is their high-end range. But before we dived into the products to have a look at them, we were given an interesting demonstration of the software used to determine what Philips class as golden ear listeners. Now, there are a number of these golden ear listeners around the world who are used to test the new products. They can recognize even the smallest nuance in audio quality and loudness and to tell whether it's MP3, some artifacts from MP3, the process to be qualified as golden ears is quite long, and you need to pass all the tests to qualify to be called golden ears. There's even a platinum ears above that. I don't know how many of them there are in the world, but there are several golden ears that are on the Philips books, and they're used to test out these products. Another thing Philips does is perform a lot of surveys where they ask the respondents to choose which is the better in the class, and they will not allow a product to progress further until they get at least 65% of respondents choosing their product. So they tweak the device, give them choices on what sounds richer, stronger, brighter, darker, so that they kind of try to find the median there that everyone classes as good audio. Very, 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 very thorough process they go through, which is why I think Philips have maintained this legacy of audio quality. But now onto the products. The standout for us was the Fidelio soundbar. The other devices that were on show were lightning dock connectors and also some headphones as well. But the soundbar really caught our attention. And what at first glance, it looks like any other soundbar. And a soundbar, for those who don't understand what that is a product that sits underneath your television so that it can enhance the TV audio quality, give you a better sound reproduction than the speakers within the TV. TVs are so thin nowadays, it's very hard to get a decent sound, especially a nice bass, out of that speaker from the television. Hence the reason why soundbars are a really popular product on the market today. Well, the Philips soundbar, though, is one with a difference. At first glance, it looks like all the others. And when it is in, it can detect whether it's sitting on a tabletop or mounted on the wall. And when it's in its normal mode, it outputs 2.1 stereo, so 2.1 channel. The 0.1 is obviously the subwoofer, which is also wireless, just needs a power point. Down-firing subwoofer, very small footprint, so it can give you that good bass sound as well as the 2.1. But here's where the Fidelio is completely different to the other products in the market. The two ends of the soundbar are actually detachable speakers. They can be detached and positioned as rear left and right speakers. Now, the device is aware when the speakers are detached and automatically switches to 5.1 home theater mode. So we had a great demonstration at the Ivy Penthouse last week. Speakers were detached. The sound adjusted. I think we were watching a scene from Transformers, a really high action, heavy, high, like loud noises and lots of surround sound. And it sounded a lot better than you'd expect from a product that only cost less than $1,000. Cost $999. Very impressive sound. The advantage of having a system of this kind, though, is the fact that there's no need to snake cables to the back of the room. These are true wireless rear speakers. They've even got their own internal batteries. They can last up to 10 hours before they need recharging. To recharge them, they simply attach them to the main unit. But the rear speakers, as I said, wireless, no need for power. The subwoofer does need power, but that can be positioned anywhere in the room. So very easy setup. No cable snaking around the room that you're going to trip over, that's going to make the room look ugly. It's a very elegant solution. It's going to be available later this month. It's going to be priced at $999. That's the Fidelio soundbar from Philips. If you want to check out my story, you can do that at techguide.com.au. Now, we spoke recently about the App Store celebrating its fifth birthday and more than 50 billion downloads later, 5 years, it's been an amazing achievement. Well, one of the apps that was there from the get-go is the eBay mobile app. And it has really changed the way we shop. And Australians especially have actually embraced mobile shopping like no other. Australians actually spend more as a percentage of sales on their mobiles than any other market in the world. So we love shopping from anywhere. In the 5 years, though, a few trends have been seen of the way we use the app. The 62% of Australian users admit that they, with the mobile app and the ability to shop anywhere, they have displayed shopaholic tendencies. But here's a strange one. We also, being mobile, we can take our devices anywhere and shop anywhere, browse, buy, sell. And it has come up, these stats, with some very unusual locations for us to do our shopping. One of them includes the toilet. Now, men, naturally, are the top scorers here. 26% of men have confessed to shopping while they're on the toilet, compared to just 18% of women, which I find that a very strange stat, but just illustrates the fact that you can shop from anywhere, literally, including on the toilet. It hasn't stopped to also, the mobile hasn't stopped people shopping other places, like in the middle of a movie. Movie mustn't be very good if you're reaching for your eBay app on your mobile phone. Other places they've done that. Half have also said that 52% were selling goods, have admitted that they've sold other products to pay for their new purchases. So it's given us the ability to use anywhere, but also because we're using it so much, we need to sell other products to pay for our purchases. eBay are loving that because they want more people selling, they want to charge more fees. So I think that's a nice little story about the 5 years of the eBay mobile app. But it's been downloaded in that 5 years more than 100 million times. In the second quarter of 2012 alone, more than 600,000 eBay shoppers made their first purchase on the app. Now, eBay's got big plans for this, and they predict more than $20 billion worth of transactions will take place on the eBay app globally, which is 33 times more than what we spent in 2009, which was just $600 million. So mobility is not only giving us that access to those bargains anywhere, but if we're taking it anywhere, selling, buying, it's there for us. It's been 5 years, and here's to another 5 years. There's going to be a lot more downloads, a lot more people accessing their eBay sales. I like how you can set reminders. If you're watching something on eBay and you don't want to miss it, you can set reminders so that the notification pops up on your home screen to say that the sale is ending soon and whether you want to make a bid. I'll admit, I've actually bid on a few things in that way, been given that reminder, stopped what I was doing, and actually won the sale, which is very handy. eBay turns 5. You can check out the story at techguide.com.au.
Keeping you updated and educated, this is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. Now, do you want to experience the fastest Wi-Fi ever in your home? Well, now you can. You can go faster and further with Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. You can supercharge your home wireless network with Netgear's new wireless AC products, which deliver next-generation gigabit Wi-Fi up to 3 times faster than existing Wi-Fi products. And with the release of new products like the MacBook Air, the Samsung Galaxy S4, the HTC One, these are all 802.11 AC compatible products. If you do have these products and the latest Netgear modem router, you can be surfing 3 times faster, accessing those movies and other documents and files 3 times faster on your home wireless network. It's NBN ready and great for streaming HD video. Netgear's family of 802.11 AC products provide increased Wi-Fi coverage, so you can now use your mobile devices like tablets and smartphones in every corner of your home. The Netgear Genie app has had over 2 million downloads and makes installation really easy. It'll even let you view and play all your digital photos, movies, and music on your smartphone, tablet, PC, or smart TV. You can find out more at netgear.com.au/fastest Wi-Fi.
Tech Guide. Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fenwick.
And now on to our reviews. Our first review is the Jongo S3 wireless speaker from Pure. Pure is a company which has been around for a little while, but we're used to them releasing digital radios, docking systems, and this is their very first wireless speaker system. Now, it does take a leaf out of the Sonos speaker book. Now, Sonos, as we all know, is a wireless speaker system that can be controlled using an app and positioned around your home. The Jongo S3 is a similar proposition, although slightly cheaper, and with a few differences in their capabilities. First of all, the Jongo is a small app. It's a very small, portable wireless speaker that can be connected to by Wi-Fi and by Bluetooth. The speakers themselves are only about 13.5 centimeters tall, about the same depth and width. So they're small enough to put anywhere. They've also got rechargeable batteries on board, so you can actually take them anywhere, whether it's outside or anywhere around the home. Once they charge up, the rechargeable battery can last up to 10 hours, which is very handy. They're available in black and white. You can also decorate them with various color grills. I think there's blue, red, orange, and yellow grills to give a bit of color. You can mix and match, of course. That's up to you. But the Jongo system, though, is it also has a companion app called Pure Connect. And it works on iPhone as well as Android. And what it does, it can connect to the devices, but also connect you to content. Now, you can connect to your own music through the app, but you can also log into more than 20,000 internet stations. And it allows you to also access podcasts and other various programs right there through the app. Now, you can position these around your home and access them wirelessly if you're accessing them on Wi-Fi. You can access more than one at a time. You can access there might be one in the bedroom, one in the lounge room, one in the living room. You can access them all at once. And you can access them one at a time. You can do that either with Wi-Fi. Bluetooth, though, only allows you to access them one-on-one. So if you've got one in your close to you within that 10-meter radius, you can access it within that range. Wi-Fi, of course, covers your whole network, so you can connect several at the same time with Wi-Fi. The sound quality, though, is very impressive. It's got two speakers at the front, so it's got left and right, front and back, so it gives you kind of a 360-degree sound, subwoofer positioned on top. There's also several different audio modes. There's a mono 360, stereo 360, stereo forward facing, and outdoor boost. Pretty self-explanatory. Mono 360 gives it a bigger sound to sort of fill a larger room. Stereo 360 enables left and right output, front and back, and then engages the subwoofer on top. The stereo forward facing, again, self-explanatory, gives you left and right with good separation. Also engages a subwoofer. outdoor sound selects all five speakers. So you can, if you're outdoors, obviously it might be a little bit louder. You need to hear your music a little bit easier. So it pumps up the sound, the audio for you there as well. Stereo forward facing mode also suits when the speaker is positioned on a shelf or against a wall, so that it's only firing out from the wall rather than it using the speakers pushing the sound into the wall, which is a little bit of a waste. But the Pure Connect speakers, there are a couple of things that we thought could have been improved. It would have been nice to be able to connect two as a stereo pair, as you can with the Sonos Play 3. Although I've got to say the sound quality with the stereo 360 kind of gives you a stereo sound anyway. Would have been nice to have that on a larger scale. You can connect them wirelessly, of course, but you can't connect them as a stereo pair. They're just going to be outputting the same music. There's no separation there, but just going to be louder. So you can still connect two at the same time if you want to position them close. It's kind of a bit of a waste, though, because it's going to produce the same sound. It's just going to be louder, not better. You can, as I mentioned before, you can only access the speakers. If you wanted to access several speakers, that can only be done through Wi-Fi. Bluetooth is good for one-on-one connection. Another sort of check against it, I guess, is you cannot access other streaming services as like you can with the Sonos. You can connect to Spotify, for example, to stream your favorite playlist, whatever type of music you've subscribed to. The Jongos at this point don't have that ability. You can access the music, either your own music or music that's offered through the app or through the internet radio stations offered through that app as well. The Jongo is available now. They're priced at $399 each for each speaker. The color grills are also priced at $49 each. So if you want to build a little bit of a speaker system in your home, create a wireless multi-room audio system, it's very easy to do that with the Jongo S3. Get over to techguide.com.au to read my full review. All right, time to talk tablets, and in particular, the HP ElitePad 900. Now, this is a Windows 8 tablet, not Android, not iOS, Windows 8. Now, it's got a 10.1-inch screen. It's running an Intel Atom Z2760 1.8 gigahertz processor, which is enhanced with Intel Burst and hyper-threading technology. So it sort of really delivers on the performance. Now, this is a kind of a workhorse tablet. This is more a business tablet. It can also be used for individual use, of course, for anyone who wants a Windows 8 tablet, but also the sort of system that you would see deployed in a large company. I think Emirates have done a big deployment of the ElitePad 900 throughout the company. It's very light and slim in your hands, only weighs 630 grams, and it's just 9.2 millimeters thick. The 10.1-inch screen has a resolution of 1280 by 800 and has a really good viewing angle. Even when you're right on the side, you can still see the image on the screen very, very easily. It's got some tapered edges, got machined aluminium on the back of the device, thick black bezel around the front. It's also got a 1080p front-facing camera for your video conferencing, as well as an 8-megapixel rear camera with flash. It also has a panel that allows you to insert a SIM card and also to extend the memory. It's available in 32, 64 gig capacities, but you can extend that even further using a micro SD card. There's a 3.5mm headphone jack also on the top, and two speakers at the bottom can provide some decent sound output. So if you want to watch a movie, listen to some music, it can do that for you as well. So it's not all about work. There's also, you can enjoy some play as well. Now, one thing that really brings the HP ElitePad 900 into its own is its range of accessories. The accessories do things like add not only extended battery life and added protection, they also add ports. Now, I would have thought that a USB port on the device itself would have been very handy, and maybe HDMI out port. You know, this starts at $799. Other Windows tablets out there, like the Surface Pro, for example, offer that inside in the device itself. But the HP, though, really leans heavily on its range of accessories, namely the productivity jacket. Now, this looks like a case, but you slip in the Elite Pad into the case there and flip it open, and a keyboard pops out. So you can treat it like a laptop. The other there's also an expansion jacket, and what this does is you slip in the device into the expansion jacket. And this adds not only some ports, I think two USB ports and a HDMI out port, but also extends the battery life. So battery life lasted about 6 hours for us during our testing. The expansion jacket extends that again by another 6 hours. So you're not going to be left posted with no power if you've got the expansion jacket. Lastly, the docking station we thought was another handy accessory, and it can position the tablet at a comfortable viewing angle. You can add a wireless keyboard if you want, so it turns it into a little bit of a desktop solution there. What it also adds are four USB ports, as well as a HDMI and VGA video out ports, so it gives you plenty of options. For $799, that's the starting price. As I said, I would have liked to have seen some USB or HDMI already on board. So the $799 price you're going to pay for the tablet itself, you're probably going to be spending more with one of those accessories that I mentioned. So it could take the price to over $1,000. I've given that a full review, a tech guide. If you want to check it out, there's pictures there, and as well as sort of my reviews of the performance, the design, as well as all the accessories, and as well as all the pricing. You can check that out at techguide.com.au. Well, the Nokia Lumia 1020 really caught our eye when we first saw this release last week. It was unveiled in New York by Stephen Elop, the Nokia CEO. Now, at first glance, it kind of looks like every other Nokia Lumia they've released, running Windows 8 with a 4.5-inch screen. But there is one major, major difference. It has a 41-megapixel camera. I'll say that again, 41 megapixels. I thought it was a misprint when I first saw it, but no, it has a massive sensor on board. Now, the reason it has this sensor, obviously to take brilliant photography, but it's really going to reinvent mobile photography, photos taken with smartphones. We already know compact entry-level cameras are kind of a dying breed now because our smartphones take such great photographs. That's why there's been such a move to SLRs, that we want to take even better photographs in our smartphones. Well, you need a camera of that quality to do it. Well, now with the Nokia 1020, with its 41-megapixel sensor, it allows you, and with its Zeiss lenses, Nokia's always had a great, great relationship with Zeiss optics. This device features six Zeiss lenses, so create ultra-sharp images even in low-light conditions. It's also got built-in Pure View technology so that you've got optical image stabilization and the ability to produce some of the sharpest image you'll ever see, not only on a smartphone, but on any digital camera, which I think is quite an achievement. It also allows users to zoom in. So having such a massive megapixel, like massive resolution image, means that you can now zoom in on this ultra-high resolution image to create the image you're trying to go for. Rather than trying to frame the perfect shot, you can take a wide shot, then zoom in on the perfect shot that you were trying to capture altogether. The 41 megapixel images captured they've got a resolution of 7,712 pixels by 5,360 pixels. That is huge. That's bigger. That's more resolution than a 4K TV that you're going to be capturing with the Nokia Lumia 1020. It can also take images, not only it's got dual capture mode, so you can take those large megapixel images so you can edit that down to be a proper image. It also can take 5 megapixel images so you can easily share them on social networks and with your friends and family. As I said, Windows 8 on board, and also can not only capture great still images, can also capture excellent full high definition video. And also the microphone on board can also handle really loud environments like a concert or a sporting event. The stereo sound can be captured quite evenly, even at these really loud events. On board, there is 32 gig of internal storage, 2 gig of RAM, and 7 gig of free SkyDrive cloud storage as well. It'll be available in three colors, yellow, white, and black. There'll also be a case, which I've included on my Tech Guide story, that comes with a grip. So you insert the phone into this case, and it then turns it into the shape of a normal digital camera with a grip on the right-hand side, as well as a capture key that links then to the smartphone, so you can capture it using that capture key rather than having to touch the screen. No specific time frame for an Australian release, but you can rest assured that when I do get my hands on it, I'll be reviewing it at techguide.com.au.
Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
I had a question on our Tech Guide forum just the other day where a gentleman asked, he wants to extend his Wi-Fi to the other end of the house. But in the second half of that question, he said that he's already got internet cable is already in the roof and he wants at least 4 ports to plug into other equipment. Well, the cable has done all the heavy lifting here. You really don't need Wi-Fi in this equation. If you've got internet cable throughout the home in your roof, then all you need to do is drop that cable down to wherever you need it and then use an Ethernet switcher. So rather than you having to go Wi-Fi, you can actually hardwire connect whatever device you need. So you can buy switches now with 4, 5, or even 8 ports. So from that one cable, you can connect up to 7 other devices. So say, for example, the cable's running from the modem in the office and the cable's running through the roof then down into the living in the room, in your living room or home theater or wherever you want to position it, you can then buy an Ethernet switch. One side of that, one of those ports will be for coming from the modem, seeing that the cable's already available. And the other devices, yeah, you might have a gaming console, a smart TV, Blu-ray player. You can then connect those with a cable right into that switcher. So Wi-Fi, although it's great and there are range extenders and a whole range of products to make that connection fast and secure, there's nothing beats a cable. And in this case, if you've got the cable there, I say use it. Forget Wi-Fi. Use the cable at your disposal. That's a good tip for anyone who's building a home and they want to have an internet connectivity around the house. Cable, cable, cable. Make sure you run those cables in the building stage so that when it does come time to connect your smart TVs and those other devices, that cable is readily available. My advice to new home builders, wherever there's a TV port in your home, so you're obviously in the lounge room, you're going to have an aerial connection, a TV connection, I would put an Ethernet connection there as well so you can connect by cable those internet-connected devices. That's what I'd do if I was building my home again. I'm not at the moment, but if I was building it again, I'd run a lot more cable, although Wi-Fi is doing the trick at the moment, but as I said, cable is always better. And that's the end of this week's show, episode 55. You can read all about what we've talked about on this episode at our website, techguide.com.au. And we always love to hear from our listeners, so you can get in touch and email us at info@techguide.com.au. And don't forget, your forum questions could end up here, right here on the help desk on the Tech Guide podcast. Special thanks too to our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. If you want to stay connected, the answer is Netgear. Thanks for listening. It's been great to have your company once again. We look forward to catching up with you again next week. So in the meantime, stay safe and stay connected.